Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's today. Today is a good day if you have ever felt like digging a hole and staying in it, or pulling an Elijah, going out into the middle of nowhere, finding a tree and sitting there because you think that you've lost it, you think God has lost it, you think Christianity has lost it, and it's all a waste of your time. Today is a good place to be because hopefully God will give you 7,000 reasons and then two more to put your trust and confidence in Him and in the fact that He has command and rule over everything, and everything's going to be okay. So I look forward to sharing those reasons with you and digging into God's Word with you and singing with you today as we worship. If you are our worship guest today, welcome. It's nice to see you and to have you in God's house. The order of service that will follow is printed completely in the worship booklet. If you need a copy, the ushers have a copy for you. With those announcements, let's join our voices, praise our God, and open worship with our opening hymn. It's in the blue hymn book, number 779. Let us worship the Lord. Our worship continues on page 3 in the worship booklet. Please stand. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love Him and to serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin. And take away my
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will.
Amen.
us pray. O God, you have prepared joys beyond understanding for those who love you. Pour into our hearts such love for you that, loving you above all things, we may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. And the kids that would like to come up for the children's sermon can come and join me. And we're going to try sitting right in the front on the floor today. So we'll see how that goes. Here, right down here. Here, Garrison, come here. Let's try sitting right here. I'll come down and join you. All right. So you have to let me know if this is just miserable sitting on the floor, then we can go back. You're okay with it? All right. Well, good morning. Thanks for coming up. I have something for you, but you have to promise me you're not going to have it unless it's okay with mom or it's okay with dad. And if they say no, you have to wait till you get home. No crabbing at them, no sassing at them, okay?
Okay.
Fair enough. One of my favorite things in the world, blow pops. Oh, I know.
I love both.
Do you know what I like about them the most?
I like,
exactly, but you never ever lick all the candy off before you chew the gum because I love the way that the candy kind of makes your gum a little crunchy and it makes it a little crystally. And I think that is one of the best things about having blow pops.
You know, I always do that.
You want one?
Yeah.
You want a blow pop? I have one. Here you go. Ooh, your brother beat you to that one. Let's see. I got one more. Here you go, Chris. What? What, do you want one? I only had two in my pocket, and I had the third.
Which is that one that
mm-hmm. Hmm? You want one?
Yes. I want one, too.
Wouldn't it be great if I had more?
Mm-hmm.
If I had enough for everyone? I know, then I would give one to all of you. Do you think I have enough for you?
No.
No, I probably don't. Do you think you're going to be all bummed when your brother gets to open his and he gets to eat it in front of you?
I'm not going to be asked. I would just punch the circle.
Wouldn't it be great if I had enough for everyone?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be pretty great, but you're all too busy trying to steal his. Already, you're too busy saying, nope, there aren't any more. You're saying, yeah, that'd be great. And some of you are kind of, there aren't any more. I got a lot more. I know, I got one for everybody. Man, all you guys had to do was ask, but you just sat there moping. And then you tried stealing your brother's. I'm gonna pass one more back. Well, you're welcome. And see, that's the thing. That's how, you're welcome. That's how it works with God, too. Sometimes it looks like, boy, God just isn't going to do anything for me today. Sometimes it's, I'm scared today, and I don't know what to do about that. Or I'm lonely today, or I feel bad because I did something I shouldn't have, and I don't know what to do for that. And it's important for us to remember that God is always, always there for us. All we have to do is pray to Him. All we have to do is open the Bible, and He's going to tell us, I'm with you always. He's going to tell you, you don't have to be afraid. He's going to tell you, I love you, even though you've done something wrong, and I live for you, and I died for you. Today we're going to hear a story about a man named Elijah, and he was a prophet, and he got so down that he just sat underneath a tree, and he said, oh, I hope I die today, because God just isn't there for me, and God just isn't working with me, and God isn't answering me. Can you believe that? Even a prophet, he was kind of like a pastor, and even he had such a down day. But really, God was right there for him the whole time with more than Elijah could ever want. Kind of like this. There was more than just one. There was more than just two. I had enough for all of you. All you had to do was ask. It was right there. Same thing with God. God's promises are always there for you. All we have to do is open His Bible. All we have to do is ask. And here's a promise from the Bible. Some of you have this memorized already. Some of you will probably hear it in Sunday school if you haven't yet. The Bible says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. So the next time you need something from God, don't just sit there. Pray to him.
Yes.
Ask him to help. Ask somebody to read the Bible to you. Pray to God, and he's going to answer you. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for all the blessings that you have promised us, especially the blessing of knowing that because Jesus loves us and he died for all of our sins, that you're not angry with us and you're going to take us to heaven someday. Until then, help us to pray to you. Help us to be in your word. Please help mom and dad at home or somebody else to read the Bible with us so that we can learn about you together and pray to you together. So when we get down and we are sad, we ask that you would come to us and help us. And above all, remind us of your love for us. In your name we pray. Amen. Fantastic listeners today. Thank you. Here we go. Give that to her. The first lesson for this morning is from Kings chapter 19. This is shortly after the Lord's prophet did just that. He went out into the middle of nowhere, and he sat underneath a tree, and he asked that God would take his life. And instead of saying, okay, I'm done with you, like perhaps God should have, instead he comes to his prophet, and he encourages him, and he strengthens his prophet. And we'll talk about that more in the sermon today, as my sermon is based on the first lesson from Kings chapter 19. Elijah replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said to him, go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with his 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his attendant. This is the word of the Lord. Our psalm of the day for this morning is Psalm 62 on page 5. We will sing this psalm responsively by the verse, and we join together to sing the refrains and the glory be to the Father. Psalm 62.
Salvation and honor to thee, O God. He is my mighty rock trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge.
The second lesson is recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This is a follow-up to the letter that Paul first wrote to these people, and here he is reminding them that no matter what is going on, God's will is being done, the gospel is being preached, and the church is being advanced. St. Paul wrote, "What anyone else dares to boast about, I am speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak, and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin, and I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness." This is the word of the Lord. We join together to sing the verse of the day on the top of page 7. Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 9. In this lesson, we see that it is not always easy to follow Jesus. It is not easy to find and deal with the setbacks when we try to share the Gospel. It is not easy to leave everything and follow Jesus. Yet here Jesus encourages us to do just that, as he reminds us he had nothing, but through God he accomplished everything, including the salvation of the world. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him, because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they went to another village. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes,
and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God.
This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for the hymn of the day. This morning, the hymn is hymn 453.
Thank you.
the name of him who has promised you, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, in the name of Jesus. You know, I've been gone for a couple Sundays, and I don't want to assume anything, so I thought we'd start with a little reality check, and you can help me with that. We have a processional cross, symbolizing that Jesus is with us when we worship, and that we preach Christ crucified. Was Jesus with you the last two Sundays when you worshiped? And did you hear Christ crucified proclaimed from the pulpit and from God's word? Okay, good. While I was gone, we have the message of the cross and peace we have through Jesus, proclaimed to the world through the Holy Spirit. And did Jesus comfort you? Did the Holy Spirit do his job the last 2 weeks? Okay, good. When you approached the Lord's table, did your Savior once again tell you, I love you, I forgive you, and give you his very body and blood to prove it? Good. We had a baptism a few weeks ago, and is that child still in God's baptismal grace? Yeah, of course. And is every child that we brought to the font still living in God's baptismal grace to this day? Okay, good. Sometimes we need these reality checks because aren't there times when you feel just like Elijah and you think, man, you look at what's going on and you start clicking around and you read some of these headlines and then you get into your own head and you get into your own heart and you look what your own hands have done and you think, man, you know, God is just losing it. And Christians are losing the battle and you are losing the battle as a Christian. And sometimes you even wonder, is it even worth hanging on and hanging in there? Elijah shares with us today what got him to that point. Because yes, shocker alert, even men of God, even prophets, even pastors have those days, they have those weeks, they have those times when you look around and you think, ah, you know, God, what is going on? And we are not going to win this. Here's what got Elijah there. I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. He says, I'm trying, God, I'm trying. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. You know, his situation was tough, and his situation was real. You can't argue with what he is saying. And if you go back, starting in 1 Kings chapter 16, and you read through those chapters, and you see what the king and his peach of a wife, Jezebel, will you see what they're up to? And you see the summary of what they did, that they tried to do even worse than all the kings before them, and they did. And you need to step back and understand why that was such a threat, not just to Elijah's life, but also to God's kingdom and to God's promises. Because the kings, they weren't just political rulers. They just weren't the face of the nation. They were in charge of keeping God's people safe. They were in charge of making sure that temple worship was going on. They were in charge of making sure that the word of the Lord was read. They were in charge of taking care of the prophets and making sure God's people were on the right path so that Jesus could be born in the promised land someday. And what was Ahab doing? Ahab was killing the prophets. Ahab was leading the people away. And not only did he say, go and worship however and wherever you want, but he also brought his wife Jezebel into the picture and the false god Baal. And not only were they doing whatever they want, but now they actually had a false religion. They had a false god, Baal. They worshiped with their neighbors. And God's promise was in jeopardy. How could he send the promised Savior through his people if his people fall away? How could he send his Savior to be born in Bethlehem if King David's family falls away? And there is no King David on the throne one day. Elijah's situation was tough. Elijah's situation was very real. And so it's not out of line for us to say, okay, what is it that makes it tough for you? What is it about your situation, your very real situation, that makes it hard for you to hang tough and really hold on to Jesus and think, yes, this is going to work? You know, we spent a little bit of time at convention talking about different generations, and maybe that's it for you. Maybe you think, okay, well, we got another generation or so, but let's just face reality. Pretty soon the kids and the grandkids, they're not going to want this anymore. And we'll just have to deal with that.
Or maybe you're on a certain mailing list and you keep getting these emails. You know what? If this law gets passed, that's it. We're done. If this law gets passed, our pastors are going to be locked up in jail. Our churches are going to be shut down. Or you get another one. Hey, there's this bill that's going to shut down our school forever because we're not going to teach this or this. And that's real. And it's tough. And I get it. Or maybe you don't like what's going on in your own head and in your own heart. And you think, boy, if God can't even work on my heart, your situation is tough. Your situation is real. It is not easy to hang on to Jesus. It is not easy to be a Christian, and it is very easy to give up. Right? Find a broom tree, hide under it, say, God, that's it, we're done. Thanks for trying. Thanks for bringing me along. But there's nothing more we can do. As tough as Elijah's situation was, and as real as it was, wasn't God's command of the situation even stronger and even realer? And I understand that realer is not a word. I understand that's bad grammar, but I thought it had a little bit more of a kick than to say more real. And you look at what God does for the prophet. The Lord says to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. He doesn't shame the prophet. He doesn't yell at him. He doesn't say, Elijah, what's wrong with you? He loves him, and he encourages him. And he says, look at the command I have of this situation. Go back the way you came. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael. And Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and whose mouths have not kissed him. What do you say to something like that? Sorry, God? You know, sorry I didn't see that. Sorry I missed it. Sorry I'm such a weak man. You know, there's one thing that Elijah did get right. He says in his little rant, he says, I am no better than my ancestors. And that's true. You know, and who is? Sinful hearts, sinful minds, sinful words, sinful actions. Nobody's any better than anybody else. And God would have had every right to say, you know what, Elijah, I'm done with you. You are no better than anybody else. And go find someone who is. Only problem is God couldn't find anybody who was actually up for such a task. Instead, God showed Elijah 7,000 reasons to trust in him. And this wasn't a fluke, okay? These guys just didn't have the best plan to avoid Ahab, to avoid Jezebel, and somehow they got lucky, like they picked the right cave to hide in or something like that. God preserved these people. And it's not just the numbers, it's not just a morale booster for Elijah. This is a testimony to God's power and to God's promises. Because had these 7,000 people not been there, and had all the people fallen away, and if King Ahab really would have killed all the prophets and all the followers of the Lord and everybody worshiped Baal, then God's promise is in jeopardy. And there is going to be no Savior. God is not going to keep this covenant, and God is not God. And then Elijah would have nothing. But here are 7,000 reasons to trust in God. Look what I've done, Elijah. And I'm going to get practical with you, too. I am going to get the Arameans of all people to come in and set the people straight. And I'm going to use Jehu. Jehu is going to restore order again. And anybody that they miss, your successor Elisha is going to take care of. See how God had complete command of this situation? Regardless of what it looked to Elijah, God was there. 7,000. And I have a plan to bring the people back. These 7,000 are your reason, too. Again, it's not just a numbers game. It's not just one isolated problem. They represent all of God's promises to you, don't they? God never went back on one of them. God never failed to keep any of them. God always loves. He always protects. He always has a plan. Because God's command of your situation, it's tougher and it's realer than you or I could ever know. Sometimes it's like the blow pops, right? All you have to do is look around. The promises are there. All you have to do is ask. All you have to do is get into God's word, and you're going to see him again. We have just great
illustrations in the lessons for today. You would think that St. Paul, you would think that St. Paul, he would have this ministry thing down. And you would think he would not have a care in the world, roses and bonbons every day. Why? Because you're the Lord's hand-picked missionary. And he said, I'm going to bless this, and this is going to work. But that wasn't the reality for St. Paul, was it? It was hard to be St. Paul. And if anybody ever had reason to say, that's it, I'm giving up, it was probably St. Paul. And he shares a little bit of that insight with us too. St. Paul said, I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen. Even his own fellow Jews who should have been there for him, they weren't. They opposed him. In danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false prophets. I have labored and toiled, and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. He faced a very tough and a very real reality. And I don't think any of us would fault him if we would say, hey, Paul, you tried, you know, good job, but it just wasn't meant to be. That wasn't Paul's experience at all, was it? In fact, he reveled in these things because he said, the more trouble I have, the more I have to rely and trust on Jesus. And the more people see me suffering, the more they are going to see the greatness of Jesus. And they are going to see his plan and his promise that everything is going to be okay. James and John, they're an interesting test case too. Because what was it other than doubt or maybe a little bit of anger or frustration when they said, you know what, Jesus, look at these people. We went right to where you sent us and they told us to get lost. They said they don't want us, they don't want you, they want nothing to do with us. As the time approached for Jesus to be taken up to heaven, he resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them? You know, they're thinking, boy, I guess this repentance, the kingdom of heaven is near. I guess this love God and love your neighbor, it's not going to work on these people. And let's just get rid of them. Let's firebomb them. Let's be done and we'll move on. Ever have one of those moments where you think this just isn't working? These people aren't worth it. Jesus, your plan is horrible. Jesus himself. You would think Jesus himself would never get rejected. You think things would go better for him. As they were walking along a road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Still another, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Look at Jesus being rejected 3 times. If he can't even get the job done, who can? If the plan doesn't even work for him, is the plan even going to work for us? 7,000. There were 7,000 people in Elijah's day and a plan. 7,000 for the disciples too. Just look what Jesus was teaching them. Jesus was teaching them, you are going to be rejected, but there's something bigger. There's a bigger mission. And who knows? Do you see what they were forgetting about? Who knows how long that message was going to linger there? And who knows how God was going to use these people? Do you think that maybe the people in this village, when things got really bad for them, they would remember the time that Jesus was here and James and John came and we kicked him out? Maybe there's something to that. You never know how God is going to use his message of love God, love your neighbor, repentance and forgiveness of sins, the kingdom of heaven. 7,000, you never know what God's plan is. And who are we to get down on God and get down on Jesus and get down on the gospel and get down on ministering to him, ministering in his name? And St. Paul, too. What possibly good could come from St. Paul not having any money, any clothes, any food, getting beaten, getting shipwrecked, having nothing? God was telling Paul, there's something bigger than all that stuff. And it's the ministry
It's sharing Jesus in the souls that you are winning. So St. Paul was okay with saying, yes, I am fine with my weakness because it shows God's greatness and God's power all the more. But did you catch his little confession? He said, you want to talk about sinners? You have no idea what's burning up inside of me. But Paul knew he was loved by God. Paul knew that Jesus forgave him. Paul knew that it wasn't up to him. And did you catch how he was concerned for all of his churches? I mean, Pastor Stray and I, we have one. And it's a lot to be concerned for all of you. And we do. We love you. We care about you. We are concerned about you every day. Now imagine having 10, 15, 20 congregations to be concerned of. Paul's confidence was not in himself. It was in the 7,000. All the promises that God made and the promises that God kept. Your situation is real. Your situation is tough. But who are we to get down on God? And to doubt him. And to get angry with him, and to think, okay, maybe we have another generation, but then that's it. Eventually, things are going to catch up with us, and we're going to face the same thing Christians around the world are facing, so let's enjoy it while it lasts. 7,000. God always keeps his promises. And because God preserved those 7,000, Jesus came just like he promised, didn't he? And when Jesus came, he never doubted God once. He never got down on God, never got down on this plan. And he prayed earnestly that he could carry out the plan, and he did. And he took your doubts and my doubts and all of our worries. And anytime we wanted to say, you know, God, just firebomb that person. I'm done with him. Or firebomb this entire country. They don't want you. Jesus died for those sins. And he lived a perfect life in our place. And he rose again, just like God promised. 7,000. God keeps his promise. And here's number 7,001 for you to trust in. Your situation is real, your situation is tough, and God knows. And that's why he tells you to cast your anxieties on him. Not so that, oh, okay, now I'll put you on my radar. Or so that Jesus says, okay, tomorrow I'll put you on the agenda and I'll take care of you. He knows already. It's always there for you. He just wants you to come and take advantage of it. He wants to hear from you. He wants to help you. He wants to remind you, 7,000, I'm going to keep my promises. And then reason 7,002, Jesus is much bigger than your situation. And his command over your very real, very tough times is very tougher, and it's very much realer. And he is never going to leave you. So don't get all wrapped up and worked up in what you perceive as the reality of what you think is going to happen. Instead, look and trust in what God has promised you. 7,000. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for our congregation, for our ministry. He has a plan for Christianity in general. Look at what's going around. Don't miss out on the candy that's already in the bag, that's already there for you. Look at what's happening right now. 200 to 300 people are going to come to God's house today when they have 1,000 other options. You have no reason to be here. In fact, if Satan would have it his way, you wouldn't be here, but you are. And we are worshiping, and we are being strengthened and comforted by God's promises today. Look at what God is preserving and keeping for you. I mean, look at this campus, for crying out loud. This campus shouldn't be here. Do you know the amount of money it took to put this thing up? And the amount of money it takes to keep it going, and yet God's people do it. Why? 7,000. God keeps his promises. He says, this is going to work. When you gather around Jesus and when you confess his name and when you preach his word, you have no idea what I'm going to do for you, no idea what I'm going to do through you. And you have no idea what our mission, what our ministry is going to accomplish outside these walls. When you take it home and you take it to your families and you take it to your neighbors and they tell you to take a hike, you have no idea what that message is going to do as it simmers and God uses it. And then one day someone is brought to their knees and they say, oh, remember when I told you to take a hike? I want to learn more now. 7,000. We have no idea of God's command over our situation as individuals, as Christians, and as a congregation. So hang tough. Hang tough and trust in your Savior and share your Savior. Because one, your situation is real and tough, and Jesus knows. And two, his command of your situation is bigger than any of your problems. Jesus lived for you. He died for you. He loves you. Hang tough. Amen. Please stand. And may the peace of God be in your heads and be in your hearts and lived in your lives to God's glory as He strengthens you daily. Amen. Let's confess our faith together to strengthen and encourage one another and witness our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Please be seated as we gather our offerings this morning.
In our prayer of the church this morning, we have been asked to remember some of Galen Carpenter's family, Mr. Ed Hemmelman, and that is Galen's brother's father-in-law. He passed away recently, and we ask that God would be with Ken and his wife, Brenda, as they mourn the loss of Mr. Ed Hemmelman. We've also been asked to remember our sister in the faith, Carol Metzler, as she continues her battle with cancer. We've also been asked to remember Dick Riedel's sister, Louise, as she had to flee her house. Her house was destroyed in a fire, and so we thank God for keeping her safe and ask God to continue to be with her. And finally, we remember Pastor Stray and his family, and also our brothers and sisters at Crown of Life Lutheran Church in Hubertus, Wisconsin, as Pastor deliberates his call. The prayer of the church today is the responsive prayer on the bottom of page 9 in the worship book. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, You love Your whole creation and forget none of Your creatures.
We bring you our supplications for all your children, for all those we love, and all those committed to your care. For all who have blessed us with kindness, led us with patience, and restored and refreshed us by their sympathy and help. For all who have wished or done us ill, that you would turn their hearts to penitence and ours to blessing. For all prisoners and captives, and all who suffer from oppression, that you would lead them to know the perfect freedom of your Son's forgiveness, relieve their suffering, and move us to imitate you by assisting them with works of mercy and compassion. For all who bear the cross of suffering, who are sick in body or in mind, for all who are troubled by the suffering or sin of those they love, for all who have experienced worldly loss, that in the midst of darkness and confusion, they may find their peace in you. For all who are absorbed in their own grief, that they may be raised to share the sorrows of their brothers and sisters, and to know and appreciate the fellowship of those who bear Christ's cross. For all who are suffering because of their faithfulness to conviction and duty, that in sacrifice they might find strength and joy, and that you, who see in secret, may uphold them by your grace, so they may at last come to an open reward. For all who are undergoing temptations of the flesh, or who imagine evil in their hearts, that you would enable them to overcome and obtain the victory through Christ. For all who are lonely and sad in the midst of the joys of others, that they may know you as their Father, friend, and comforter. For the infirm, the aged, and all who are approaching death, that they may find their strength in you and obtain a blessed end. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have brought Mr. Hemmelman to his heavenly home. At the same time, we ask that you would be with Ken and his wife, Brenda, as they mourn the loss of Brenda's father. We ask that you would use this as a time that you rally their family together. We also ask that you would comfort Galen and his family. It is never easy to part with loved ones, but help us all to remember that when we do, it's just a matter of time before you come back to either take us to be with them or you call us home too. Thank you for the faithfulness of your word and the way that you comfort and bless your people. Again, please be with Ken and Brenda during this difficult time in their lives. Dear Heavenly Father, we also thank you for the strength that you give us, especially in the darkest and most difficult times when we experience difficulties in our health. So we come to you on behalf of our sister Carol. We thank you for the way that you have enabled her to fight this far. We thank you for preserving her faith and the witness that her faith in her trial is to all of us. We ask that you comfort her and bless her. Help her to remember that you rule over all things, including this situation. Help her to remember that it is real and that you really care for her. Hear the prayers that we send up to you on behalf of her. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many physical blessings that we enjoy. We realize that we are not the extent of our physical possessions, but they do take care of us and we enjoy them. And it's unsettling when we lose them. So please be with Louise at this difficult time. We thank you for keeping her safe. Help her to trust in you. And if it is your will, use her brothers and sisters and other opportunities that she has to rebuild. We ask that you bring her closer to you through this time as well. And finally, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being part of the Holy Ministry. We thank you that you have faithfully called pastors here to serve you. We thank you for the fellowship we share with our brothers and sisters at Crown of Life in Hubertus, Wisconsin. We ask that you give Pastor wisdom and insight as he deliberates his call, and that you would give our brothers and sisters at Crown of Life patience and wisdom as they await a Savior. We ask that a decision will be made that glorifies you and furthers your kingdom. Again, thank you for the opportunity to be a part of ministry in your name. For all for whom we have forgotten to pray, but who are dear to you, O God, our Father, hear our intercessions, answer them according to your will, and make us the channels of your infinite pity and helpfulness, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Worship continues in the blue hymnals with hymn 749.
For our closing prayers and liturgy, we give our attention to page 11. Please stand. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation. And bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit. One God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Please be seated. Good morning again to everyone. It was good to be in God's house with you and be reminded we have no reason to hide under a tree, to hide in a hole. We have every reason to live for our God and to trust that he has command over everything, including our situation. So may Jesus bless you with that encouragement today. I have been asked to remind you that next Sunday the mission offerings are due. So if you give an offering to the LWMS mission project, those offerings are due next week. I have a story to share with you about my vacation. We were down in the Phoenix, Tucson area. We hit convention and then we spent some time at Shannon's family's house. And as we were driving back, we stopped to get some gas. And when I came out of the gas station, I saw there was a message on my phone. And the message on my phone was from Colorado, and I don't really know anybody in Colorado, and so I listened to the message as we were pulling out. We were getting ready to chow as we were driving. And I listened to this message, and my heart sank, and I just wasn't hungry anymore. And I couldn't think, and I even cut this guy off when I was merging. And so I need to pull over and tell Shannon exactly what happened and call this guy back. So the Colorado District Mission Board has called me to a brand new exploratory mission start just south of Salt Lake City, Utah, in a city called Lehi, Utah. And that's about all I know about it right now. They have 52,000 people in the area. They're scheduled to more than double in just a few years. And there's only two Christian churches in the whole area. So that's my news that I have to share with you. So as always, I welcome your questions and your comments. And it's sincere. You heard St. Paul really wrestle with, you struggle, you love these people, you love these churches. And so, Pastor and I need your prayers as we are deliberating these calls. So, pray for me, pray for Pastor, pray for our brothers and sisters in Hubertus, and pray for the mission board and the people of Lehi, Utah. So, with that, please feel free to greet one another, and I welcome a chance to visit with you. God bless your morning.